Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the very first kickoff show for the RF Sports. I'm your host, RF. What I'm going to do is basically break down the show for y'all, let y'all know what we're going to be doing. It's going to be basically a sports talk show, but from a fan's perspective. You know, we're not ex-NFL players. We're not Chris Mortensen or Adam Schechter. But we follow sports just as fans. We will give y'all a fan's perspective of how we see sports and how it goes. And if you guys are tuned in on the internet, on Facebook, thank y'all and welcome to the show. You can definitely call in where you have a chance to voice your opinion on any topic or bring up any topic that you want to bring up. The call-in number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. Or you can hit us on Twitter at BossRife, BossRife, and send your questions by Twitter. Give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. And today we're going to have a few special guests on, some of my real close friends and family, to give you some opinions on what we talk about when we get together and watch the game. So it's going to be a real fun show. So just stay tuned in, and we'll definitely get it rolling. Just to give y'all a quick update on what's going on with the game, right now it's 14-9 New Orleans over Minnesota. We'll definitely get into some of that. From what I can tell from watching the game, it looks like it could go either way at this point. I mean, New Orleans is on top of them, and New Orleans is at home. And if y'all listen to some of the previous shows, I know I did pick New Orleans to win, and I'm usually never wrong. So we'll definitely see. Right now, the touchdowns, the first downs are rather even. Minnesota's got 11 first downs. New Orleans has 12. Total plays from scrimmage, 45 to 48 in favor of New Orleans. Total yards, 209 to 265. The majority of New Orleans yards coming from the passing game, 206. And the passing game for the Minnesota Vikings is 118 yards and 91 yards rushing. So definitely Adrian Peterson is making his presence felt. What's killing the Minnesota Vikings right now is penalties, 5-3 in favor of New Orleans, winning the turnover battle as they did all last season. Now, I do want to touch on just a few topics real quick. Our first topic, of course, is going to be the NFL with this season kicking off. And I do have a caller on the line, and we're going to get into a few topics as far as where it goes with the NFL. So if y'all would, welcome on the show my co-host, Mr. Royce. Royce, are you there?
Yeah, hello, right now. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yes, I'm sitting there watching the game.
So tell me from your perspective, what do you see with the game?
I beg your pardon?
From your perspective, what are you seeing in the game? What do you think the story is right now?
Well, since it's been the first game, everybody's, you know, hadn't quite worked out all the kinks yet. Looks like the Saints are really being able to move the ball. Of course, now miscues and a couple of drop passes, and they could be up a lot more, like 21-9. And Minnesota is running the ball real well, but, you know, of course, now they got caught up in some of this jitters that they had last year from Super Bowl.
Right. Now, me and you talked on several occasions in regards to what we think about the Saints. I know you're one of those people that think that you can't count the Saints out. I'm going on record, and all these shows are archived, so I'm going to say it, and everyone's going to know it, but the Saints are not going to repeat. There's just no chance, the Super Bowl hangover. I mean, these guys are still partying on Bourbon Street.
Right.
They don't have a hangover.
Let me tell you something I learned a long time ago. Take it to the bank. Never say never. There's always a first time for everything. But the Saints are the best equipped team to go back to the Super Bowl. As long as you have a Drew Brees, you got a chance.
Okay.
You agree or disagree?
I mean, I agree. I like Drew Brees. Drew Brees has came a long way. He's finally moved up there into the top tier. Top five quarterbacks in the league at this point, and he did take a Super Bowl to do that. But he's always been proficient. He's been a good passer. He can definitely run the offense. So I give Drew Brees all the credit, but it's just got to be the other players on the team. The defense last year capitalized off of turnovers. They had a huge special team play, whether it's Reggie Bush running back a punt or getting lucky on the onside kickoff as they did in the Super Bowl. I mean, it just depends. I mean, it's going to take a lot of other factors to have a magical season and win the Super Bowl.
Okay, Ronnie, did the Cowboys repeat?
The Cowboys did repeat, but that's a whole different story.
And then the Lakers repeat?
That's a whole different story. These are proven.
Well, what makes you think the Saints can't repeat? It can happen.
It can happen. Anything can happen.
Where's the Don King? Only in America.
Yeah, only in America. That's true. It can
That's right.
Now, another topic that's going on with this story here is basically the return of Brett Favre. Brett Favre will be 41 this year. And I know me and you, we have a little age difference. So do you think that a 41-year-old quarterback can lead his team to the Super Bowl?
Well, right, that's a touchy subject for me, being a little older than Brett Favre. But I learned to realize that age is like fine wine. It's going to get better with time. Experience, too.
Now, I give it up to Favre. I think that, honestly, last season, it was all laid out there for him. He had his best season of all time. They got to the NFC Championship game and literally were just a few turnovers away from winning the game, which, again, they should have won, matter of fact. But I think that Brett Favre got beat up so bad at that game, I don't know if he could have played in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think that's what kind of changed his decision by playing this year, because he got so close, you know, and he felt like he had the team and the players around him to do it again. I think that had a lot to do with his decision and coming back, because he was just one play away.
That's true.
You know, once you get bitten by that bug, you know, you want to go back for more.
But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting season. This is just the first game. We're going to have another show, I believe, on Saturday. And you guys just stay tuned in and log into the website, blogtalkradio.com/RFSports, to get all your updates and information on the shows. We'll definitely have a regular schedule coming real soon. But right now, we're definitely trying to feel our way around and get the listeners up. So if you know somebody that loves sports, make sure you tell them to listen. That's blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. Now, a couple other things are going on in the NFL. One in particular with another Saints player, with Reggie Bush. And a lot of people are in the media writing articles talking about how Reggie Bush should either lose the Heisman Trophy or be a man to give the Heisman Trophy away. Now, the case is being made. I've read an article today in USA Today that basically says that on the ballot itself, on the Heisman ballot, it does say you must vote for an eligible player based on the rules of the NCAA. And going by the last couple of rulings, if you guys have heard, they've already ruled they've taken away games from USC, all the games that Reggie Bush played in. They took away all the yards he gained in that particular season. So, in effect, he was an ineligible player. So, I mean, y'all call in and let me know, do you think Reggie Bush should have to give up the Heisman Trophy if the school had to give up all their wins? I mean, that seems only fair. My opinion, give up the Heisman Trophy, give it to Vince Young, but let's not act like none of these college athletes are doing the same thing. It just Reggie was too sloppy to get caught.
I have a question for you, Rodney. What constitutes an ineligible player? Because we don't know how many kids are taking money. And we know that goes on. That's a common occurrence in college football. So if they take Bush away, why not investigate everybody else that wants it? See if they're ineligible, too.
Well, they could very well be done. But we're not speaking on everybody. We're speaking on one particular player. And he was basically the one that got caught. So I think if the school has to forfeit the games, has to give up all the stuff they did their season, then why should the player benefit and have a Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, but we're talking about 2004. We're not talking about last year.
Of course.
2004.
Of course.
And if they do take it away, It's just like the Miss America pageant. If Miss America, for some reason, can't serve, or some, then the second run-up, first run-up gets it. So why not give it to Vince? I don't think he'll take it, though.
And that's a whole other story. A lot of people, I was having a conversation with another good friend of mine. He was saying that he don't even think Vince should take it. And if he does get it, Vince should give it right back to Reggie Bush. Just as a gesture of, hey, you did win it, regardless of what happened. So it's a very interesting viewpoint. I thought that was definitely interesting.
You know, and even though he was ineligible, he still ran the yard. I mean, he still performed on the field. Man, that does say a lot for him, you know what I mean? He did gain those yards. He did make those touchdowns. And he did play in the games.
That's true.
So you can't take that away from him.
Well, we're going to see. It's going to be pretty interesting. There's a lot. There's a huge contingent down in Austin that's putting together a Vince Young campaign for Heisman all over again in hopes that that's what the NCAA is going to rule to do. We will definitely keep our eyes peeled on that particular story to find out what's going to happen. And it should get pretty interesting, real interesting.
We know, now that you talk about this subject, how did they find out? I mean, this was 2004. You know, why all of a sudden comes up now?
Well, I think the investigation started a while back, and this is finally coming to fruition. Now, this is something, this is also a big thing going on with these agents. I don't know if you guys are following the story with the guy from Georgia, but there's a player that plays on the University of Georgia, and by the name of A.J. Green. And he's been suspended for 4 games for selling the jersey to someone in the NCAA said qualifies as an agent. And he basically sold the James jersey from the Independence Bowl last year for $1,000. Now, this happens all the time. This happens all the time. Make no mistake about it. College football is one of the biggest sports right there with pro football. So this kind of stuff happens all the time. It's just that some guys are sloppy, some guys get caught. And after this whole Reggie Bush thing went on, you see a lot more players getting caught up in the same situation. Same thing with UNC. They had to start the game with 13 players on the bench because they knew if these guys get found guilty, we're going to forfeit all these games this whole season, and we're not going to do that. So they just set the guys out. But you'll see more and more stories come to light after this Reggie Bush story is getting so much attention. And this is the way I think about it. But it has been going on from beginning.
Of course. Of course, everybody knows it. I mean, it's no secret. It's just who gets caught, who doesn't get caught, who tells, who doesn't tell.
Exactly.
And I don't know if you can stop it. You know, I'm one of those persons that's paying the athletes in college anyway because they generate a lot of revenue for the school. And, you know, it also teaches them when they do go in the NFL, how to, you know what I mean, as far as management money-wise.
Right.
I've seen a lot of guys get a lot of money and you know, do a lot of crazy things and still, you know what I mean? They get paid anyway. You're paying for the school, paying for the college education, paying for the room and board. You know, why not just pay them?
Right. Well, that's the whole thing. How do you determine the pay scale for college football players? You got some college football players that are marquee players. You got some guys that just playing. You got walk-ons. So how do you monetize, you know, playing for a college football team? I mean, these guys are getting a free education. A lot of people forget that. But the players are, you know, definitely looking towards the NFL. But it's a sticky situation. It's kind of hard. How do you figure out how do you monetize, you know, paying a college player?
Well, you pay them on a service. Like, they've been there a year, 2 years, his second year. You know what I mean? You can get bonus for if he's a freshman starter. You know what I mean? If he gains so many yards, he breaks records. If he's a Heisman Trophy candidate, that could be a bonus. Make them work hard.
That's true. Well, we want to remind all our callers,
definitely
want to give you guys a real quick topic we're going to talk about this week. You can definitely call in, give your picks for the NFL. I want to know who you're picking in each division. I want to know who you're picking for the Super Bowl, who's going to represent the NFC and AFC. So definitely give us a call. Again, the number is 323 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. If you're online, it's blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. It's blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. Now, we've got another caller. I'm going to bring another caller on the line. Welcome to RF Sports. Who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Chris.
Chris, how you doing?
I'm all right about myself.
Good. Now, hopefully you're calling in to give your opinion on who you're picking this season for the NFL.
Well, yeah, I wanted to comment. You step back for a second. I wanted to comment on your Reggie Bush deal there, because that's what seems to be the topic of the hour right about now.
Right.
So I tell you what, nobody said anything to LeBron. He's riding a Hummer to high school every day. Nobody said anything to him. I mean, he's in high school. He's not even in college sports.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's why I say this thing has been going on for a long, long time.
So, I mean, you know, if you're going to put Reggie out there and make him give up what he has, you know, then, I mean, you know, you might as well give up everybody, coaches and everybody and all, alumni of schools and deans of schools and chancellors and everything. Yes, I mean, because they all involved. Everybody knew what was going on.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's fair for Reggie Bush to still keep a Heisman Trophy in his trophy case at home, but the school had to give up the Heisman Trophy they had on display at the school?
Well, I mean, that's really not, you know, something I guess that even my decision or something I would have to make. I'd definitely leave that up to somebody else. I'm just looking at it from a perspective of basically you don't nitpick on him for that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of people was widespread. I saw the game with UNC where they had the players out apparently because a Twitter that he did from a club in Florida or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole, it's been going on. It's not a secret. They know what they're doing. They know where their players are. I mean, a coach that doesn't know where his players are out of town and all the time.
Okay,
as much money as
right
on
them
as
cool. That brings up a whole other scenario. I mean, just speaking specifically on USC, I mean, let's look at the players in the situation. Reggie Bush goes on to the NFL, wins the Heisman Trophy. Pete Carroll goes on to a job in the NFL. He's not there at USC anymore. He doesn't have to serve out the suspension. But the USC, the school, all those guys that are playing right now this season are playing for nothing. I mean, they can't go to any bowl games. They can't be seen on certain networks. It's a whole big mess for the school and the guys that are left holding the bag, while the two guys, the coach and the player, are moving on to bigger and better things. I mean, is that fair?
I mean, like I said, I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing
exactly.
Can be said for a lot of other athletes.
Right.
You know,
the
way I feel. I mean, I feel as every school is guilty to a certain extent. Name me one that isn't.
Right. Well, that's true. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. This is
now, while I have you on the line, I know you're an avid golf fan as I am.
Yes.
And I definitely want to ask you a few questions here. As you may or may not know, Tiger has been selected to the Ryder Cup. A lot of people didn't like that. He was a president's choice or a coach's choice. He didn't necessarily qualify to be on the team, but the team captain had to select Tiger to be on the team. Team captain this year is Corey Pavin. And a lot of speculation on was he going to select Tiger. Tiger hasn't won any tournaments this year. I mean, do you think it's justified for Tiger to be on the Ryder Cup team?
Tiger on the Ryder Cup team, I mean, it's still Tiger Woods. I mean, he does have some good play in him. I mean, he's not necessarily playing well right now, but we all know, I mean, he has, name me somebody on the course that has a better record than him on any continent.
That's true.
You know, I mean, let's still not forget what the man has already done and the accomplishments that he has, and still how far he has to go. I mean, that's you know, it's just kind of, he still is Tiger Woods. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about that. His heyday is not over.
I think if Tiger would have finished last in their retirement, he should still be on the Ryder Cup. He's still Tiger Woods. You're absolutely correct.
He's still Tiger Woods.
Now, do you think that there's a lot of people been in the media, a lot of people writing the newspapers that said that Tiger should have took the whole year off? And now that you look back on some of the tournaments that he's been in, from his poor showing at the PGA Championship to shooting a 65 in the Barclays and then ended up finishing, I believe, tied for 12th, do you think that Tiger should have took the whole year off, or do you think this year was actually, you know, good for him?
No, I mean, because I don't understand how in the world you can, you know, improve on your golf game, or if you're in a slump, get better if you ain't out there. I mean, that's just like, you know, it's just like an athlete trying to be the best football player he can be, but he wants to take a year off because he's got problems at home.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't see how in the world you can get better if you ain't out there. But we all know practice makes perfect. I mean, that's not a secret out here. You know, what you are telling these kids, but he's not going to do it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for calling in, man. And, you know, you're definitely a fan of the show. And you'll be hearing from Chris a lot more often. It'll be a lot more heated discussions, I can assure you. But
yeah, Patriots for life, Tom Brady.
Well, I figured that was coming. Now, while we on, you know what, while you're on the phone, Chris, while we're talking about Tom Brady, he did reportedly receive an extension deal today. I know you're in agreement. I'm in agreement with you that Tom Brady does deserve to be one of the highest-paid players in the NFL. But how do you like the Patriots this year?
I like the Patriots, you know, this year. I mean, they have just a good enough chance as everybody.
Well, anybody has a chance before they play their first game. I need to know, what record did you have them going? You got them winning 10 games, 12 games, 11 games. I mean, put yourself out there. You're a Patriots fan, correct?
Hey, man, undefeated all the way. We might lose maybe two on the way, but, you know, we'll be there in the playoffs in the end when the dust settles. We'll be in contention, and we'll be talked about all year long. Please believe that in a positive way as a contender potentially for, you know, that trophy.
Okay, well, here's another question for you. Now that Brady's locked up long term, I mean, he's going to be there till he turns 40, I believe. Randy Moss, another key player on the Patriots squad, does not have a deal after this year. They haven't reportedly made any attempts to try to get him signed before the season starts. I mean, does that mean that Randy Moss won't be there next year?
I mean, I think that's just like Washington's politics.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I mean, you know, why give it away when you can build a hype?
Well, the Patriots have been a team that's been very, very diligent by getting rid of some of their veteran players, their olden players. They got rid of Richard Seymour. They ended up trading a few other older players as they got older to bring in some of the younger guys, Mike Vrabel, players like that. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Patriots do. They get rid of the old and bring in the new. So why should we assume that Randy Moss will be there?
Well, I trust in the judgment of Belichick better than I trust in the judgment of Randy Moss being on the team. Randy Moss is one of the elements to the Patriots and how the Patriots works. I mean, we've all seen, you know, if everybody's watched the Patriots over a couple of years, which I'm pretty sure they have, they've gotten a lot of airtime. Basically, when Brady got hurt and their replacement came in, I mean, the system works. We've all witnessed that. It's part of a system, pretty much, Belichick's system. You know, so Randy Moss is one of the components of Belichick's system. I mean, he can always, the beautiful thing about him as a coach and as a mastermind, I think, and as a chess player, because it definitely ain't checkers. He's definitely playing chess out there. You know, I mean, so he, I think, as a strategist, can move any player into that position or, you know, any element that he has besides Randy Moss, another key player that he can make it work and make it successful.
Well, I agree with that. I think we're definitely going to have a lot of debate about the Patriots this season. We'll definitely be talking a lot about the NFL. We'll also get into a few more topics here as well, but I want to thank you, Chris, for calling in, and I want you to keep it tuned, and you'll be hearing from Chris a lot more. Thanks again, man.
Everybody, keep your Patriots.
Okay, and I want to share a couple of things with you guys. I read an interesting article today. They had the top 10 locks for the NFL, and I want to give you a couple of the top 10 that they have, get your reaction on it a little bit. And then we're going to start with number 10. We're actually going to start with number 1. Top 10 locks for the NFL is published by the USA Today. The number 1 lock, the tweets will fly, and the NFL controversy will continue. Basically what they're saying is, if you guys don't know, Ocho Cinco was fined $25,000 for tweeting during a preseason game. Larry Johnson is basically out of Kansas City for basically tweeting some derogatory comments towards the coach during last season. So they think that the tweets are definitely going to happen. A lot of more players are going to get fined. This is just something that's a sign of the times, I guess. The number 2 lock for the new NFL season, and this is very, very controversial to me. Let's just put that out there now. But it says Dallas will host the Super Bowl, but the Cowboys won't be in it. Dallas will host the Super Bowl, but the Cowboys won't be in it. That's the number 2 lock for the NFL. It's published in USA Today today. But we're going to come back to that one. The number 3 lock, Favre will show his age. Now, we've already kind of discussed that one. The number 4 lock, the Titans tailback Johnson would not hit the 2,000-yard mark. As you guys may or may not know, Johnson last year rushed for over 2,000 yards, actually 2,006 yards and 14 TDs last season. And this year he's already said and quoted he's going to rush for 2,500 yards. So we'll definitely see about that. But I like Chris Johnson. I hope he does reach the 2,000 mark again. Hopefully he can break Eric Dickerson's record from 84 for 2,105 yards, but we'll see. The number 5 lock for the NFL season is that the Saints will not repeat. Now, we did discuss that one. The number 6 lock, Owens and Ocho Cinco won't light it up for the Bengals. And we can definitely discuss that topic. That's almost half a show just talking about what these two guys are going to do. And the number 7 lock, McNabb and Cobb would take their lumps. And I think McNabb's definitely going to take a bunch of lumps once he realizes he doesn't have an offensive line to block for him in Washington. And number 8 is the rival of the Bay Area. A lot of talk about the 49ers, what they're going to do this season. They're coming back with a strong defense. They still have Alex Smith in quarterback, but everyone deserves a chance, I guess. And number 9 is going to be Hard Knocks in the Big Apple. And what they're saying is that basically the Jets are not going to be the sleeper, the sweet Cinderella team from last year. They're going to fall into a regression due to the sophomore player, Mark Sanchez. So I know a lot of you guys have been watching Hard Knocks, kind of a play upon that. And the number 10 lock is that the Packers will win the Super Bowl. The Packers seem to be everyone's darling team. Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. But you still got to play the games, as a lot of people like to say. You have to play the game. And I'm going to bring back on my co-host here. Royce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing, Rodney?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Listen, I want to go back.
You heard some of the top 10 locks for the NFL season. What do you think about that list?
Okay, a couple of them I disagree with. Number 1 is Saints. I'm a Saints fan. They won me over last year, and they have just a, if not better chance than anybody else to make back to the Super Bowl. If you look at the teams out there, I do have my certain pick that I'm looking forward to this year. Saints is one of my picks. Cowboys is definitely not my pick. And that is a shame, as much as Jerry Jones has done to get this stadium and get the Super Bowl, the Cowboys would definitely not be in there.
Okay, so you're telling me that the number 2 lock is true. The Super Bowl will be in Dallas, but the Cowboys won't be in it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Definitely. From what I saw preseason, Tony Romo is going to get really beat up. The offensive line is just terrible. I didn't see the offensive progression that they had last year. I saw a lot of miscues. I mean, they have just 7 days to correct it, or less than 7 days to correct it. And unless a miracle happens, I don't see them gelling right now.
Okay, well, let's back up just a little bit. I think you're blowing the gun just a little bit. Okay, the Cowboys didn't have a couple of their key players on the offensive line, number one. Number two, Dez Bryant did not play during the preseason. And the only offenses that really looked good during the preseason were the Saints and the Packers.
Okay, I understand that. But you still have the three elements that's holding the Cowboys from having a great team. Those three key elements to me is Tony Romo, Jason Garrett, and Wade Phillips. Until you place one of those three things, Dallas will never win a Super Bowl.
That never's a big word.
Well, I'm the one to say never, say never. You're absolutely right. But it won't be as long as those three key elements are in place.
Well, that's hard for me to argue with that. I'm not a Wade Phillips fan. I make no mistake about that. I'm not a Wade Phillips fan. I'm also not a Jason Garrett fan or a Romo fan, for that matter. Romo does what he's supposed to do. He does what he's supposed to do. But can Romo be that guy that leads us? You know, a quarterback has to be a special player. He has to have that special moment. And every time Romo's had that special moment come up, he's either dropped the field goal kick, he's thrown an interception, he's fumbled the ball. He hasn't had that special moment.
Well, you know what they say, big-time players make big-time plays.
That's right.
If you look at Kobe Bryant, from LeBron James, to Drew Brees, to, you know, most of the great players, when they make great plays, they're great moments. You know, that's what makes them great players. And Tony Romo has yet to show that to me. And another thing about Dallas is loaded with talent. But I don't see the urgency, in the players, you know, demeanor. I don't see anybody stepping up to just dominate a game, just take over a game, you know. You understand what I'm talking about?
I understand what you're saying, but let me preface my next comment by saying I'm a huge, huge Cowboy fan. Royce will tell you I bleed silver and blue. But when you go to a practice during the preseason and you got on shorts, T-shirts, and ball caps during training camp, and then I'm watching these other teams, New Orleans, Minnesota, Green Bay, even teams of the division, Philadelphia, Washington, they got pads on and they're hitting somebody. Now, what kind of coaching is that for you to have to have training camp with shorts, T-shirts, and ball caps?
That's what I'm talking about. It goes back to Wade Phillips. You have to have a coach. The coach goes as the team goes as the coach goes.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? If you have a coach that's not going to put up with all the mess, like I said, the shorts, the gagging, the drop passes, you know what I mean? Jimmy Johnson wasn't like that. You know, he'd pull you off the field. And I seen Wade Phillips smile and the same facial expression. You know, I've never seen him get up in a player's face, you know what I mean, just yank somebody. You understand what I'm saying? I don't see that in Wade Phillips. And like I said, the team goes as the coach goes. If they had Jerry Jones' drive, they'd be a hell of a team.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But we're going to see. It's going to be interesting to see. And we'll get into a lot about the Cowboys. Matter of fact, we may have a few Cowboy players on the show. You just never know. I got a few friends that I can reach out to. So we're definitely hoping for a good season. But I know you're not a Cowboy fan, but you're going to give me some of the teams that you're looking forward to think is going to really do something this year.
Rodney, for the first time in the history of your radio show, I'm going to go ahead and give you my picks early.
Okay.
I spent the last couple of days studying this and thinking about this very hard. Give me a minute, let me find my sheet.
While you look for your sheet, I'm actually going to just remind you guys that you can log on to the internet. The website is blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. And you can also catch us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/BossRife, B-O-S-S-R-I-F-E. And if you just want to call in and listen, you can call the call-in number, 323-927-2906. 323-927-2906, and you're listening to RF Sports on Blog Talk Radio. While we're getting away from the NFL for just a quick second, there is some other big news going on in sports a lot of people are not following. It is the FIBA championship for basketball. Right now the USA is, of course, kicking ass and taking names right now. I mean, they haven't faced any real competition. They did have a scare about a week ago against Brazil, where they only won by 2 points. And basically, Leandro Barbosa missed a layup that could have sent the game into overtime. And that was a scary scene. I mean, that's Brazil. And a lot of it's made about this team. There is no quote-unquote superstars on the team. There's no LeBron James, no Kobe Bryant, no Carmelo Anthony, no Dwayne Wade. But you do have a lot of guys on the team that's making some big, big strides. One player that I know that you like, Royce, is going to be Kevin Durant. And if you guys didn't know already, but Durant hit 33 points today against a decent Russian team. A Russian team that has 2 7-footers down low. Now, you got a chance to watch some of the game. What did you think about the game?
Rodney, Kevin Durant is MVP of the series. He's averaged at least 30 points a game. I watched the game today. And I have to give a shout-out to Lamar Odom. His hustle play today and his rebounding defense has been outstanding. I think he learned a lot going up against Gasol in practice, because he has really stepped his game up. And I look for him to be a dominant player come NBA season. This experience really. But I had to give it to Kevin Durant, NBA Kobe, and all you teams in the West. Y'all better look out, because that guy is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. I like Kobe. I definitely like Kevin Durant. I like what he's doing. I like the team they're building down there in Oklahoma City. They just added a brand new, in the draft, they added them a big player to play down low through a trade during the lottery of the draft. So I think they're really doing some really, really big things. Now, breaking news, you're hearing it here first, but ESPN Chicago is currently reporting that there's a trade in the works for Carmelo Anthony to the Bulls in exchange for Joakim Noah.
And you got to be
coming across the news wire right now. They're apparently discussing Noah's going to make $3.1 million this season in the fourth year of a rookie deal, and that plus cash is going to be able to get the Bulls to bring Carmelo Anthony to the Bulls. It's not been clarified as yet of what the specifications will be or what's going to happen, but they're in serious talks for Carmelo Anthony to go to the Bulls in exchange for Joakim Noah. So we'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully that story of a break while we're on the air. Now, what do you think about that trade?
Wow. I have to wait for further news on that. And I found my list, Ryan, if you're ready.
Okay, good. I'm ready. Now, let's do this a little bit differently. We're going to basically take this by division. You give your picks, and I'm going to give my picks. Live on the air as well, too. So let's take this by division. Now, what division do you want to start? I'll give you first pick. Okay.
Let's start with the AFC North.
AFC North. And if those of y'all that don't know, AFC North consists of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, and the defending AFC North champs, the Cincinnati Bengals.
My pick is Cincinnati or Baltimore.
Okay, so we can pick two teams.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Cincinnati and Baltimore in the AFC North.
Yes.
Okay, I have to agree with you on that one. Because I think Pittsburgh's going to have a hard time trying to come back after Roethlisberger missing the first four games. Dennis Dixon isn't a proven quarterback, and they've got to go at least 500 during those four games and go 2-for-2 in order to have a chance to even win the AFC North. And they got some key first games in their first four games, too. So I agree with you on that.
Okay. My pick? Next pick, I'm going to go with the AFC South. I got two teams there. And I don't know how you can dispute these two. I'm going to go with the Colts and the Texans.
Wow. You're going with the Colts and the Texans?
Yeah, I think the Texans are going to make it to the playoffs this year.
Wow, that's a big pick. Now for those of you that don't know, the Texans have a much improved defense. They still have Matt Sharp at quarterback. They got some new running backs they're trying to work in. They still have Andre Johnson, so I can definitely understand that. Now, what a game key for you is going to be Sunday at 1 o'clock on CBS, the Colts play the Texans. So you get a chance to see right then what kind of team the Texans have. But that's a bold pick. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to stay with the Colts, as I have always. And then I'm going to also go with the Tennessee Titans in the AFC South, just because I'm a huge Vince Young fan. And I think if Chris Johnson does get 2,000 yards this season, it's going to be hard for him to lose a lot of games, especially if Vince plays the way he played last year.
Yeah, it was hard for me not to pick Tennessee, Rodney, but I like this Texan team. I'm a Texan. I think it's their time.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, everyone knows this is being recorded. These are archived, and all of our shows are available on iTunes. So when it comes playoff time, this is the show you need to get. This is the show that you can use for reference. So I want to make sure everyone knows that. And now I'm going to pick another division. Since we stand in the AFC, we've done the AFC North, we've done the AFC South. Let's go to the AFC East. And I wish I still had Chris on the line because this is his division. Now, the AFC East, you've got New England Patriots, you've got the New York Jets, you've got the Buffalo Bills, and you've got the Miami Dolphins. Now, who do you like in this division?
I'm about to go with New England because Wes Walker's back. And Tom Brady has a new contract, and like all this happened, you can't never count the Patriots out.
Okay, so who do you think is going to be the team that rivals the Patriots if you're going to pick two teams to go?
Jets.
You're going with the Jets?
I'm going with the Jets.
I think this would be the easiest division to pick. I mean, Miami did sneak up there one year and win, but I think that definitely it's going to be a two-team race, and it's going to be the Jets and the Patriots, as hard as it is for me to say the Patriots. But
we're in agreement on that, huh?
We're in agreement on that one. Let's move out west to the AFC West, where we've got the Denver Broncos, you got the Kansas City Chiefs, you got the Oakland Raiders. And of course, you also have the
San Diego.
Chargers, correct. Mm-hmm. So, who do you like in that division?
I'm gonna go with San Diego and Denver.
San Diego and Denver.
Yeah. I like San Diego.
Now, Denver shocked a lot of people last year, starting at 6-0. Then they kind of came down a little bit. Now, San Diego, no Vincent Jackson, although they did pick up Patrick Creighton. No LT. They got Darren Sproles. They did draft a new rookie running back. Would you think that offense is not going to skip a beat?
I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I watched them in preseason, man. They looked in like they were playing their fourth game. They were ready.
Now, this one I'm going to have to kind of split the decision on this, and I'm going with the Chargers, but I'm going to pick a very, very sleeper team to finish second in the division, and I'm going with the Oakland Raiders.
I got to laugh. I must laugh.
The Oakland Raiders. Now, you shocked me with the Texans, so I'm going to shock you with the Oakland Raiders.
So you think they're going to be the sleeper team in the West, huh?
I think they're the sleeper team in the West. I think they're already primed. I think they got a decent quarterback, got his led a team before. He played the NFC East, which is one of the toughest divisions out there. And I think they can beat a lot of teams out there. If the defense plays the way they've been playing in preseason, played the end of last year, they can beat a lot of teams in the AFC West.
You know, the only thing held that team back was the quarterback last year.
Right, right.
That's a pretty risky pick. I think maybe they're 2 years away. They're 2 years away.
Right. Let's get into a little of the NFC. Now, the NFC, I think we should start with the NFC North.
And
the NFC North is one of the hardest divisions to call right now. You got the Green Bay Packers. You got the Chicago Bears. You got the Minnesota Vikings. And improving, but not quite there, Detroit Lions. Who do you like in the NFC North?
I'm going to go with the Packers to win a division and Minnesota to compete.
In Minnesota to compete.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers has not beat Brett Favre as of yet. And you think this is the year he's going to do it?
But Aaron Rodgers is not 40 years old. Brett Favre is. And if he makes the season, he's going to get too banged up. I saw pictures of bruises he had from the NFC game. If he get any kind of bruise like that this year, mini game, it's going to be hard for him to make 16 games.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm going to go with the same two teams, Minnesota and Green Bay. I think it's hard for any of the other teams to do anything. As much as I like the Bears and I love Lovie Smith and what he's done with the Bears, but he's on the hot seat, and his whole future is right now riding on Jay Cutler, a quarterback that's got a lot of hype and still throwing more interceptions and touchdowns, especially last season. But I like
Why you think Denver got rid of it? That's why Denver unloaded. He's an intercepting quarterback.
Exactly. But it's just a shame that a guy like Lovie Smith that took a team quarterback by Rex Grossman to the Super Bowl has now got his future riding on a quarterback that's going to throw more interceptions and touchdowns. But
yeah,
who knows, Lovie Smith may be with the Cowboys next year. We never know.
That'll be today.
let's move on down to the NFC South. And in the NFC South, of course, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You also have the New Orleans Saints.
Stop right there.
I pick
one team for that. That's the New Orleans Saints. No competition.
Wait. So you're telling me a team like Atlanta is not going to contend for the NFC South?
They're not going to beat the Saints.
They're not going to beat the Saints.
Well, they're my second team, but I look for the Saints to win their division hands down.
I don't know. I think the Saints have a good chance as anybody, as you like to say. But I honestly feel like the Atlanta Falcons are going to make some huge strides this year. And I'm going to take them to win the NFC South. I think Matt Ryan's going to have a hell of a year. He had a good year last year besides the injury. They still got Tony Gonzalez a second year into the system. They still got Michael Turner. I think they're going to have an excellent season this year. And I'm picking the Falcons to win the NFC South. Not because I'm not a huge Saint fan and don't think they're going to repeat, but I just like the Falcons. I think the Falcons are going to do it.
Well, you know, to me, Atlanta's like Dallas. Which team going to show up? Even with the talent they have, which Atlanta Falcons team going to show up on any given day? Yeah, that's a good question to think about.
That's true.
And when they're at their best, they're great. When they're at their worst, they're terrible. But which team is going to show up?
We're going to see. I think we're going to have a lot of discussion. This is going to be interesting Sundays for us because I'm picking the Falcons to do it this year. Now let's move on a little bit to the NFC West. We're going to take it out to the West Coast. Who do you like in the NFC West?
I like San Francisco.
I think you've been listening to me a little bit too much. I knew you were going to make that pick.
No, San Francisco for the last 2 years had gone anywhere but up. And they got a great coach and Frank Gore, as long as you have Frank Gore, a good running back, a decent quarterback, and a hell of a defense. I think they were ranked in the top 10 of defense.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So, and a hell of a coach. And, you know, it's just like everything else. Everything comes back around. It's their turn again. Been a long time.
I'm going with San Francisco also, even though Alex Smith, I don't like him in the quarterback, but who else are they going to put in there? The whole experiment with Hill last year, I thought really deterred the team from even getting to the playoffs. But that defense with Patrick Willis, with Mike Singletary calling the plays, I mean, they're going to be hard division to pick. And who else are you going to pick in the NFC West? I mean, the Cardinals are defending champions. But
right.
They don't have – I mean, who's the quarterback for the Cardinals? Does anybody know? I mean, they got rid of Kurt Warner, retired. They traded Matt Leinart. He wasn't the answer. They're not going to put in Derek Anderson.
Who couldn't do anything in Cleveland.
Exactly.
You know, he's not that type of quarterback. So we will see the interest, but I think San Francisco has it wrapped up. They can win 9 games. They can win a division.
Right. I agree. Now we're going to move on to the even tougher call. And I don't know, this is traditionally the toughest division in football, and it's the NFC East. I think the NFC North might give them a run for the money this year, but the NFC East, and of course we have the Cowboys, we have the Redskins, we have the Giants, and we always have the Philadelphia Eagles. Now let's slow down for a minute, because I think that in your heart, you're a Cowboy fan. So I'm interested to see who you think is going to win the NFC East.
No, Rodney, you're right. I am a Cowboy fan. I just don't like what the Cowboys are doing, more or less. Like I say, as long as they have those three elements, I can't see them. You know, why even waste my time getting disappointed Sunday after Sunday and getting my hopes up, and they let me down. That's another team, which team going to show up with all that talent. But you have to go with Dallas because New York is in disarray. Washington has a new quarterback. I think they don't have a line. Who else we got? Philadelphia. With McNabb leaving, that's a whole brand-new system, new quarterback. And so far, you know, he hadn't showed me that much. I think I don't look, you know, so it's no competition. Dallas should win, and if they don't, it's a big disappointment, not only to me, but to all Cowboy fans.
Are you picking the Cowboys to win the NFC East?
That's a no-brainer. Yeah, no-brainer. I mean, like I said, who do they have to compete against in their division? Who's competitive? In their division,
I understand that. I'm definitely picking the Cowboys. I'm picking the Cowboys by a huge margin because I just don't think that, like you said, there's another team that can really stack up talent-wise with the Cowboys, you know, regardless of McNabb and then Washington. There's a reason that the Eagles let him go. He's been there 10 years. Instead of getting rid of Andy Reid, they decided to change quarterbacks. And it's always a sign of a lack of confidence in the coach to me when they get rid of your quarterback that you came in the door with has been there for 10 years. But I think that it's going to be too hard for the Eagles to try to do something this year with a young team. The Redskins, they have a lot of holes, even though Mike Shanahan's a hell of a coach. I know he's one of your favorite coaches.
Well, until he gets his own players in there, he inherited that team he has now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he has to get a quarterback, number one. And when he gets his players in there, I say 2 or 3 years down the line, look out, Cowboy fan.
Right. And I agree with that. I think the Cowboys are definitely going to do it. And even more news on the Cowboys, they did agree to a deal with Miles Austin. They did sign a deal today. I don't know if you guys heard Jerry on the radio. talking about the deal, but the deal's come down. He's basically getting a total of $57 million. The extension's worth $54 million, and only $18 million of the deal is guaranteed. So really it's an $18 million deal, because in the NFL, you're only good for the guaranteed money. Now, it's a six-year deal. Contract extension is going to begin the start of 2011. What do you think about that? You think it's a good deal for them to sign him up and lock him up for 6 years?
Yes, good deal. I just hope his head doesn't get any bigger.
But they ain't going to go faster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Depends on how big his head. He already has a big head. Lord, I hope he doesn't get any bigger. He won't be able to get the helmet on. So if he stays grounded, you know, it's worth the deal. He is. Talented-wise, he can be one of the best receivers in the league. But you have to surround him, you know, with good players and good quarterback. Give him the ball. And that's another thing. Jason Garrett, just like when T.O. was there, you got to give your stars the ball. So if Miles Austin gets the ball, they'll be okay. You got to give him the ball. He's a star now. Give him the ball. You know,
and let's not forget that he single-handedly saved the season for the Cowboys last year. I mean, before he had the breakout game against Kansas City last October, I mean, no one knew what the hell the offense was going to do or how they're going to score points. And then he had the breakout game against Kansas City, and you know, he saved the season for the Cowboys, for Wade Phillips, for Jason Garrett, for all those guys last year.
He's a star of the team. Every team has a star. Right now, he's the biggest star in the Dallas Cowboys team. Who's bigger than Miles Austin? Who saved the season last year?
That's true, but the star of the quarterback in Dallas is always going to be huge. It always will be, no matter if it's Tony Romo in the spotlight or Quincy Carter or Chad Hutchinson. That star when you were the Cowboys quarterback is huge.
But they didn't have one.
Exactly.
Since Troy Aikman. So they had a star quarterback. So the quarterback isn't the star. Miles Austin is the star, trust me. It's just like when T.O. was there. Dallas lost games because they couldn't get the ball in T.O.'s hands. You got to get the ball in the hands of your best player. Same thing in basketball. When you come down to it, who has the ball? Kobe Bryant has the ball in his hands, right?
That's right.
Wayne Wade has the ball in his hand. Quarterback, what's his name for the New England? You know, he has a quarterback. Yeah, sometime back.
Speaking of, and if you guys are just not tuning in, I know we're close to the end of the show, but we're following some current stories that are currently breaking around the sports world. One is ESPN Chicago's reporting a trade with Joakim Noah being traded to Denver in exchange for Carmelo Anthony, which could be huge in the NFL. Another story that's breaking, or is breaking right now, is that Tom Brady has agreed to a deal in New England. The deal is a four-year deal worth $72 million and includes $48.5 million guaranteed, which will take Tom up until he's 37 to the 2014 season, which is huge. So, I don't know. I think that makes him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. That's until the deals get done with Drew Brees and the deal gets done with Peyton Manning. But Tom Brady has agreed to a four-year deal worth $72 million, includes $48.5 million guaranteed. So they've got that part done. Let's see what they do with Randy Moss.
Well, good luck right now on your picks for the upcoming football season. I look forward to returning to your show, and you know, you and I always go head to head. I know you're a Cowboy fan, and I'm gonna enjoy watching the game with you and laughing with you, and I'm not gonna cry with you.
Well, again, so good luck. Thank all my callers. I want to thank Chris for calling in. I want to thank my co-host Royce for giving his opinion, and we hope you guys stay tuned in, stay locked in with us. Look for us to broadcast again on Saturday. You can email the show at rfbrands@gmail.com. You can follow us at blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. You can call in at 323-927-2906. We did get one Facebook request from a friend of mine by the name of Devin that's telling me to watch out for the Steelers, and that he thinks that Reggie Bush should not come up the high. But we'll get on that later subject. I thank you guys for tuning in. This is RF for RF Sports signing off, and I hope you guys enjoy your sports day. And go Cowboys.
Yeah, right.